On the line, we have Mr. Masood Chajari, Chairman, Islamic Human Rights Commission in the UK. Mr. Chajari, welcome to our show and thank you so much for being with us.
It's a pleasure.
How many Muslims are there in the UK?
Well, up to now, there is an actual figure available. There is an estimate and guesstimate of between 2 to 3 million Muslims in Britain as a whole.
And what are the major ethnic groups?
Well, it depends what part of country. Some parts of country, like London, which incidentally holds half of the Muslim population of Britain, are concentrated in London. It's a very diverse community. There are people from Somalia, from Middle East, from Turkey, and from Indo-Pak, and indeed from all over the world. And also we have got a very sizable convert community in Britain.
So quite a diverse community, like we have here actually in North America. Now, after September 11, we've noticed an increased bias in the media towards Muslim. How about the media in the UK?
Well, unfortunately, we have been the victims of Islamophobia in Britain, like all over the world, incidentally. I think really there isn't anywhere that Muslims have been spared of this sort of Islamophobia and demonization. But I have to say that in many ways this demonization was going on for a very long time, even before. But what has happened is has magnified and it has become legitimate. The Islamophobic journalists and others have actually come out of the closet and they're proud to be Islamophobic and they have found this new opportunity to sort of spread their venom.
Now, in North America, there was also more than the bias in the media. We have witnessed a series of hate crimes directed at individuals or places of worship. Did similar incidents take place in the UK?
Yes, we have had attacks on the mosques, Islamic centers. We have had a petrol bomb thrown in. A number of mosques have been sort of burned or partially burned down. And windows are smashed, graffiti put around. Our organization sort of collects information on this type of attack against Muslim, hostilities against Muslims and a place of the worship. And during the last year, we have received around 674 cases. We recently published a report which shows that these cases have everything from attempts of murder all the way down to sort of pulling scarves, spatting, and using verbal abuse.
In all fairness, there were also acts of kindness and generosity from neighbors and colleagues at work. Do you have any encouraging story to share with us?
I mean, we ourselves as an organization, we received something in region of 40 sort of letters and so forth of attack. But also we received telephone calls, people phoning right out of blue, you know, saying that we are not all like that. And you're welcome here. We value your contribution to our society, and our society is much richer. And incidentally, most of people who are actually doing that are, to our experience, have been people who are spiritually motivated people. There are people who are come from Christian background and so forth, and people who... I think in every aspect of life there are people who are stand up for justice and what is right and so forth. And I think it's very important that you highlight this. Yes, it's not the case that everyone becomes racist and Islamophobic.
Our Canadian government, imitating the U.S., has legislated so-called anti-terrorist bills that, in effect, don't provide additional security for the citizens but curtail civil liberties. What is the situation in the U.K.?
In U.K., unfortunately, we have seen the new terrorism bills that have been passed in the last couple of years, have been the greatest erosion of the civil liberties that I have experienced in my 50 years of life, and I have never seen anything like that. And really, there's no reason for it. We have been monitoring the terrorism bill over the last year, and what we have actually seen and we have noticed is that, for example, we don't have the actual figures because the police and the government have not released it. But what we have found out, those that we know, is 50 cases of arrest in Britain, which out of those, most of them were, overwhelming number of them, were released without charge. But even those who were charged, not a single one of them have been found guilty. As a matter of fact, the court has very clearly has made basically a statement that the security forces are being extremely overhanded, and they are arresting people when there is no fabric of real evidence against them. And I feel that this sort of injustice, this sort of overhandedness, it really is going to damage the society, not just for the Muslim community, but all our civil liberties. Because once you remove civil liberties from a society, then the whole fabric of that society changes. The message that has been coming across to the Muslims in Britain is that this civil society, the concept of civil society, it's not all-inclusive, and it excludes the Muslim community. And that's a very damaging message to be passed on to any community.
Now, September 11 was a wake-up call for Muslim communities in North America. We were forced to evaluate our place and our effectiveness in our societies. What was the effect of September 11 on Muslims in the UK?
I think it actually has not affected all of us in the same way. There has been some Muslim organization and some Muslim individuals have gone into the sort of victim mentality, and they've gone into sort of their shells, and it's understandable. And there is another group of sort of Muslim community who have, because of there's so much pressure on them, they have sort of almost to eradicate themselves from being pointed as a culprit in this whole thing, have sort of chosen to start pointing fingers at certain section of our own community as the sort of guilty parties, so they will eradicate themselves from the suspicion. But as a whole, I think we have to sort of evaluate not just the Muslims in Britain or in the West, but of the whole society. What sort of future do we want to have for ourselves and for our children? Yes, of course. I'm sure everybody else would join me to say that we all are concerned about safety and security and the future of our children and our grandchildren, etc., etc. But in the same time, we really want to create an environment that is, there is a level of safety and level of justice and level of civil society which is all inclusive, and we need to work towards that. I think this is really not so much a wake up call for our particular community, but this should be a wake up call for whole of the society, be it in Britain or elsewhere in the West. Because 1 year has gone now, and sort of we don't have the excuse of saying that we are responding as a knee-jerk reaction. Now is the time to evaluate what has happened over the whole year, our action or our responses as a whole by society towards the event of September 11. Was it a positive one, or has it been a negative one? Has it made our society safer, or has made our society less safe? And I really believe that if we go down those roads, we come to the conclusion that many rhetorics that has been echoed by the politicians, be it the United States or Britain or elsewhere, which really is extremely unacceptable, baseless. There's no merit to it whatsoever. And then we really need to sort of force our community and our politicians to move away from those sort of rhetorics and concentrate on real things for our society, building up a society which is just, which is fair, and which is not xenophobic or Islamophobic.
Now, talking about the future, Mr. Chajari, President Bush claims that his war on Iraq is part of the war against terrorism. And Mr. Tony Blair is at the moment the only head of state supporting this opinion. We know there's a large Iraqi community living in exile in the UK and many leaders of the Iraqi opposition also. What is the position of the UK Muslims on the question of Iraq?
Well, UK Muslims are actually, as a whole, are probably on this issue are extremely in tone with the community at the large. I mean, most of the statistics shows that all the polls that have been taken, and that over 70 to 80% of the British public believes that this war is unacceptable. And within the Muslim community, this figure is higher. And also taken into line of the issue of what is happening in Palestine and comparing Palestine with Iraq. I mean, you know, all the cliches that are coming out that Iraq is danger to his neighbors. Well, Palestine is, I mean, in Israel is already occupying his neighbor's land. And then, you know, a matter of the weapons of mass destruction and nuclear weapon and so forth. Well, Israel already has got those weapons. Then issue of killing their own ethnic minorities or the minorities. Well, Israel is doing that. And when Muslim community compares these and comes to the conclusion that this is not really, this war is not based on trying to promote justice or bringing end of atrocities around the world. As a matter of fact, most of these support and weapons that Iraq has ever had have always come from the United States and the West. There is a very strong feeling that this is completely the issue of this war is something that is there to sideline away the politics and the community away from some much more real issues of internal affairs of be it United States or elsewhere, and also divert the attention from the injustices that is taking place in Palestine. You mentioned about Iraqi community. Iraqi community, I really feel sorry for the Iraqi community. They have been suffering for a very long time under the hand of this tyrant Saddam Hussein. And their perception of what is happening is actually just seeing that they would do anything. They will support anyone as long as they could get rid of Saddam Hussein. And from that point of view, their perception of what is right and wrong might be slightly different to the rest of the Muslim community.
Mr. Chajari, how effective are the Muslims in Britain? You're an older community than the Muslims in North America for historic reasons. Do you have members of parliament that are Muslims or sympathetic to the Muslim cause? Do you have Muslims placed in positions where they can make a difference?
We do have two members of parliament who are Muslim. We do have four members in the House of Lords who are Muslim. But having said that, they did not come into power on the Muslim ticket. And they did not, they weren't supported and put forward. And they did not get where they are because they were, they had the community behind them. And because of that also, the fact is that not all of them are very supportive. And in some time they actually are more of a representative of the Labour Party in the Muslim community rather than the Muslim community in the Labour Party or in the government. And this is very sad. But we believe as an organization, and there's a large number of Muslim community here, that we don't have permanent friends. We have permanent interests. And our permanent interests are quite clear, like many other communities. And we need to define those and flag those very clearly. And also we need to campaign, not just with our friends, but with all those who claim to represent us in a democratic society, and force them through the democratic means of actually standing and delivering according to needs and aspirations of our community as much as they are doing it with, as regard as needs and aspirations of other communities. So I'm basically saying that we need to be active and we need to get involved becoming a very targeted, focused pressure group. And I'm specifically using this terminology, target and focus, because I feel that if we are not target and focused, then we would be basically chasing our own tails, which unfortunately sometimes happens. And also I think we need to be quite focused from a point of view that we should not follow, for example, the Zionist example. We should stand up for justice and for principles rather than for just saying that, you know, anything that a Muslim does is okay and everything everybody else does is not okay, which is a concept that the Zionist lobbying does. And I feel that if we do that, if we go down that road, standing up for justice then we are not only going to inspire our own community and pull our own community forward, but we will pull the whole society forward, which should be one of our aims, because we should not isolate ourselves from everybody else. We need to sort of present our just concepts and our basic principles of Islam and actually pull the whole society forward.
Thank you very much, Mr. Shajari. We were talking to Masood Shajari, Chairperson, Islamic Human Rights Commission in the UK.